Liebe Zuschauer, liebe Zuschauerinnen.
Dear viewers, dear listeners, we greet you very warmly to the fifth program of our series on the topic, The Speaking All Unity, The Word of the Universal Creator Spirit, based on the book with the same title, A Cosmic Work of Teaching and Learning from the School of Divine Wisdom, from which we will continue to read today. This book was compiled from the audio recordings of the roundtable discussions with Gabriella, the prophetess and emissary of God in our time. They convey to us, briefly stated, a divine prophetic vision passed on to us in the simple words of the three-dimensional world. In the programs up to this point of our series, we received insight into the makeup and the workings of the all-encompassing mighty event of creation, starting with the light ether up to the structure of the core of being of all the beings of creation and the completed form of being of God. The light ether is, as we have heard, the highest, never-dwindling energy in which the kingdom of God, all pure life forms and all divine beings are embedded. The finer material spheres too, that is, cosmoses, and the material cosmoses are surrounded by light ether. The unending, inexhaustible light ether is the spiritual drawing and creating energy of the eternal. Further elucidations were about the formation of the core of being in the creating and drawing cradle of the eternal, as well as about the birth of the spiritual filiation. We also heard about the overriding primordial power and about the four attribute powers, the primordial powers in infinity, and that the workings of these four primordial powers are recognizable in matter as well, as a scientist reported. In our last program, it was about the five components of the human being: feeling, sensing, thinking, speaking, and acting, which often become the warfare agents that are directed against fellow people, against nature and animals, and in the end are always against the sender, that is, the person himself, who built up and emitted these negative energies. Today we will again be learning about ourselves, about our true eternal being, and about the all communication. We continue reading under the title, The Human Being, The Core of Being, and The Spirit Being.
To understand how human being, core of being, and spirit being interact, let us first look at the human being. We think we know a person close to us. His name and appearance are not strange to us. We say, for instance, that's Martin. Do we know the person Martin? In reality, we know him only by name. His identity is the inputs in his brain. Dear fellow people, how can we understand this? We continue reading. In each of us, the brain stores as picture sequences the entire content of our feelings, sensations, thoughts, and words, as well as our actions. In time, our brain transmits this information to the body cells and the entire body. Our physical body is in constant communication with the brain, and the brain with all body cells and physical functions, with all the components of our physical body. This means that the inputs in the brain are in communication with all the components of our body. And so our brain releases only what we have input into our brain cells.
And what about the core of being? Spoken with our three-dimensionally shaped words, the divine core of being is the compressed being, the sending and receiving source of the divine being. The core of being is compressed light ether, as is the spiritual body. By way of the core of being, the particle structure of the spirit being is permeated by light ether, the law of infinity. The particle structure of the soul and the cell structure of the physical body are permeated by the light ether to the degree that the soul particles and the cell structure of the physical body are unburdened. God is omnipresent. Even when the makeup of the physical body is absolutely otherwise structured, a human being has organs, bones, tendons, ligaments, muscles, nerves, blood, and lymph vessels, etc., etc. All the components which make up the physical body. In contrast, the body of a divine being consists of a particle structure. In a rough analogy, we would imagine the divine body like the scales of a fish, for example. However, the particles do not lie next to each other, but over each other, and are set into each other. The entire body of a spirit being consists solely of the particle structure that is fanned and set into itself. In the finest scale-like entity, all the spiritual atoms of eternity are arranged, which receive the cosmic energy of the all-unity from the core of being, the primordial heart.
Ein wunderbares Bild kann uns auch
a rose can also convey a wonderful image to us. When a rose unfolds, there are petals that are folded into each other, which reveal the core of the rose. The flower petals are like fans, similar to a scale-like entity that moves in itself. And so the spiritual body does not have a cell structure, any organs, bones, tendons, ligaments, muscles, etc., etc. It is absolute spiritual ethereal substance, that is, fine material, weightless and flexible through and through. Ultimately, we cannot describe the word weightless either. For when we speak of weightless, we say, for example, that is more than light. But what we describe with light or even weightless relates already to weight. But the spiritual body has no heaviness, no weight.
It is similar for us when we want to grasp the true reality of the word eternity. The eternity is the all, the light ether, which continuously expands and moves, and in all and all things is the eternal one, the omnipresent spirit, God. Can we convey eternity with the concept time? No, we cannot. In eternity, there is neither time nor space. Nor can we describe an eon or an eon cycle with our concept of time and space. Please let us not forget that everything that we hear or read about the kingdom of God is not even a waft of eternity. Through the increasing density, the transformed down energy, the light ether, received a framework of time and space. Through this, man moves in time and space and is marked accordingly. His body has weight, heaviness, and yet he receives spiritual energy from the primordial power via the core of being, which in the human being is located near the pituitary gland.
We continue reading how the spiritual energy reaches the physical body. Starting from the primordial power, spiritual energies flow via the soul to the spiritual centers, which are located in the physical body, and ultimately to all the components of the body. Seven spiritual centers are laid out in the body of a human being, through which the spirit flows into the person. These seven consciousness centers correspond to the natures and attributes of God. They are the distribution sites for the inflowing ether forces. Every organ in the physical body is connected with one of these power centers, and in this way receives the energy necessary for life.
Das Geistwesen hingegen.
In contrast, the spirit being is in its particle structure what the core of being is, the universal life, the all unity. Compared to this, the human being is what he has input that is stored in his brain cells. The human brain is the transformer to all the cells and components of the body and to what the person believes he feels, senses, thinks, says, and does. What the human brain emits, that is the person. That is his imprinting. His five components reflect the same and similar aspects.
Die Partikel des göttlichen Leibes,
the particles of the divine body, that is, the spirit being, is one with a primordial heart, the core of being, God, the eternal, in the core of being. God the Eternal speaks in the core of being, and the spirit being is his word and is the divine body, one with God Father, who is also Mother. Depending on their state of consciousness, all life forms also receive his all word. And the human being, who is able to hear his all word, also receives this via the core of being.
Perhaps for many a reader, the mobile telephone is the solution to the puzzle. A lame comparison could help us to better understand the all word. Why do we human beings have a mobile phone, for instance? Transformed down to the lowest level, we could compare the core of being with a mobile phone. The number of the person we are calling is nothing other than a frequency that is dialed in a network that contains all potential frequencies. With the number in his mobile phone, the caller dials the frequency of the person he is calling, thus establishing communication to this one specific network subscriber from the network of all mobile phone subscribers. To stay with our picture, if the network user does not have the number, that is, the dialing frequency of the mobile phone subscriber whom he wants to reach, then he cannot reach him. It's true that the other subscriber is in the same communication network, but he cannot communicate with him because he cannot establish a connection to him. He has no access. To be able to use the mobile phone, I, the caller, need the number of the person I am calling. The spirit being does not need a mobile phone number from this or that life form because it has everything within itself and communicates with everything. Figuratively speaking, in terms of the universal speaking all unity, we can say, for example, that the person is a number. If his number is not in the human communication network, then it seems as though he doesn't exist. Human perception is more than limited. For instance, an animal can emit to us via picture sequences, but we do not understand it, because we do not communicate via the core of being, but only with the external senses, with our fellow humans. And when distances are involved, if possible, per mobile phone, internet, email, or the like. And that only if we also have the appropriate number or address. So the number human being must somehow be able to be clicked on or dialed. Even though we human beings also think and talk in picture sequences, we seldom understand one another and also hardly understand the animals. The communication connections of the plant and mineral worlds are also foreign to most people, and even more so the all-connecting communication. This lame comparison shows that we could describe human communication as limitation and spiritual poverty. On the other hand, animals are not numbers, but the life in the ethereal communication network of the love for God and neighbor.
The opposition, the adversary of God, knows about the all-encompassing source of creation, the all-communication of the all-being. For this reason, he attempts to transform the knowledge about it down into the temporal, the earthly. This also takes place, for instance, through radio and television waves, etc., etc. As stated, the all-communication of the all-being was transformed down in terms of matter. Nevertheless, this transformed down all-wisdom, which is fascinating to many people, could be a help to roughly understand what really takes place in the all in terms of communication. For the all communication is the source of communication to all pure being. Our physical mobile phone is a primitive communication source that is solely related to human beings. Man doesn't even have a relationship to the planet Earth, let alone the all cosmos from which the life comes.
In contrast, all spirit beings are in communication with each and every planet, with each sun, with the eternal being, because they are compressed, ethereal, all law, and heirs to infinity. Over the course of their spiritual development on the planes of development, and by way of duality, the children of the kingdom of God have totally accepted and received the all-communication principle. Thus, all divine beings are heirs to infinity, and at that, equally. Everything is connected to each other through the all-communication, despite the differing degrees of maturity in the plants and animals. As already reported, plant and animal species have differing degrees of consciousness depending on their spiritual development.
The filiation link to the Father, Mother, God is still dormant in them. As seed, plants are still assigned to a spiritual collective. But even the seed, that is, the sprouting, forming plant life, already has, depending on its state of consciousness, corresponding spiritual divine particles. Despite the differing degrees of maturity, everything is connected to each other via communication and with the All One, the Creator Spirit, who is in His creatures as light and power.
Dear fellow people, based on our burdens, we human beings can only with great difficulty understand the connection through the all communication. But with the animals it is totally different. We continue reading. If we could ask an animal, irrespective of its degree of maturity, "Are you burdened?" Then the animal, if we could hear it, would answer us, "What do you understand under burdening?" If we ask further, "Well, are you constantly in communication with your Creator?" The animal would answer, if we could understand it, "What do you want to say to me with your words, in communication? I am in His law." The animal will not know what we mean when we ask, "What is communication?" It simply declares, "I am." And if we ask the plant, "How do you understand communication?" The plant would say, "I don't know what you mean." And if we question further, "Well, you have that with your Creator," the plant would counter, "But I am in Him." And so that would be the answer of the animals, the plants, yes, even the minerals, the stones. "I don't know what you mean. I am in the stream of life. I live from and in God, the Eternal. I am in His Spirit."
From the ancient scriptures, the following parable has been passed down for our existence. And some who were full of doubt came to Jesus, saying, "You told us that our life and being are from God, but we have never seen God, nor do we know of any God. Can you show us the one whom you call the Father and the only God? We do not know whether there is a God." Jesus answered them, saying, "Hear this parable about the fishes. The fishes of a river spoke with one another and said, 'They tell us that our life and being comes from water. But we have never seen water. We do not know what it is.' Then some of them, who were wiser than the others, said, 'We have heard that a wise and learned fish who knows all things lives in the sea. Let us go to him and ask him to show us the water.' And so, some of them set out to search for the great and wise fish, and they finally came to the sea where the fish lived, and they asked him. And when he heard them, he said to them, 'O you foolish fish, that you do not think! Yet wise are the few of you who seek. You live and move in water, and have your existence in the water. You have come from the water, and you will return to the water. You live in the water, but you do not know it. In the same way, you live in God, and yet you ask me, Show us God. God is in all things, and everything is in God.
All pure entities from God are in the all-ocean, the light ether, that is, in the all-being. The majority of people hardly have a relationship with the all-ocean because the majority of people have washed themselves ashore, so to speak. Now, many are looking for seashells in order to hear from the shell who or what they are. Over and over again, the question arises, what has man wrought with his ego, with his narcissism, that is, his self-love? The largest part of mankind has turned away from the almighty unity, from the speaking all unity, the word of the universal Creator Spirit. People's world of programs is against the law of unity, against the love for God and neighbor. Much romps around in these wrong attitudes, which are an egocentric fundamental attitude, which is based on self-love that says, I am my own best friend.
Immer wieder hören wir als Entschuldigung.
Again and again, we hear as excuse, we human beings have distanced ourselves from the love for God and neighbor. Then the question often arises, what exactly is love?
Liebe ist das Gesetz der Unendlichkeit.
Love is the law of infinity. It is the all-flowing light ether.
Liebe ist die Gottes- und Nächstenliebe.
Love is the love for God and neighbor, is the eternal all-one, the power, the light and law in all his creatures and ultimately also in man, in the very basis of the soul. When we do not hear him, the all-one, then we can assume that we have programmed ourselves with the motto, I am my own best friend. And in the broadest sense, this means, I myself am God, at least similar to God. Many people act like superior gods, particularly in the spheres of science, theology, and so on and so on. With the human explosive, I am my own best friend, with narcissism, the same as self-love, we put ourselves above the truth, which is God. What does it mean to put yourself above God? In the last analysis, it is the fall. The fall thought is, I don't believe in God, or I have turned away from him, because I want to be greater than God. And what is the result of the estrangement, the turning away from God, the true life? Illness, hardship, infirmity, loneliness, and many more maladies, and not lastly, death, often a terrible lingering on until the demise of our physical body. In reality, it is only the material form of existence, the physical body, and not even that, because it belongs to the earth, to which it is given for transformation. Earth to earth, but not our soul, not our true being, not the core of being.
Der Wesenskern.
Liebe Mitmenschen,
dear fellow people, with our reading today from the book The Speaking All Unity, the word of the Universal Creator Spirit, a cosmic work of teaching and learning from the School of Divine Wisdom, a great deal was again transmitted to us about which we, if we want to, can think about in terms of what it can mean for us and for our life. We will also be hearing more about this in our next program, to which you are warmly invited. Just simply tune in. We will then turn to the next chapter, The Breath of God, The All Law, The Light Ether. We wish you all the best until then. Greetings in God and goodbye.